Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hello, Pastor Dave.
Hi, Cecilia. How are you today?
I'm fine, but how are your legs doing? Last week they were aching and you were cold and...
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. They're getting better, but they're still not good. But my spirits are hugely better.
Oh, really?
I was talking to a gal named B in my congregation, and I called her up just to say hi, see how she's doing during this time of sheltering in place. And she had foot surgery. Well, no, she's waiting for foot surgery. And I called her and I said, "Are you still waiting?" "Yes, I'm still waiting. But now my right knee is getting worse, and because of I'm putting all the pressure on my right leg, and so I can hardly walk. So I'm walking on a walker. But now my shoulders are hurting because I'm walking on the walker."
Oh,
and
no.
She went on and on about all the pain and injury. And then she said, "But the Lord is good, and He has blessed me." And then she rattled on for 30 minutes about how God has blessed her in her life.
Aww.
And I thought, what a blessing you are. And she giggled and said, "And you called me to encourage me, but I guess I have encouraged you." I said, "Absolutely." And it's all a matter of perspective. Those are only situations. And that's what she said. Only situations, they change, but God is good. So
all the time.
Rambling all that, I'm doing real good.
Good.
Yeah. Shall we get back into Exodus?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
You've got a story ahead.
You may remember last episode, we were reading in Exodus, and we had read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And in these verses, Moses' mother didn't want to kill him as the Pharaoh had ordered all mothers to kill their baby boys, but she put him in a basket, put him in the river, and there it was Pharaoh's daughter, the princess of Egypt herself, found this baby and decided to adopt him.
Yes, indeed. This has been one of my favorite Bible stories ever since I was a kid.
Really?
Yes.
It is a fun story, I will admit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now that I'm older, I begin to wonder about some things.
Okay.
Well, first of all, she hid the baby for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that wasn't too difficult to do, although, hard to hide a screaming baby.
Well, and that's why it started to become more difficult at 3 months, is he probably was becoming more boisterous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he was sleeping a lot during the first 3 months. Is that it?
Yep, that'll be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then she does a very interesting thing. Well, papyrus,
you mean Moses' mother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yochabed.
She makes a basket out of basically reeds or rushes that grow in the Nile. They're woven together.
Papyrus used to be used for Egyptian paper too, didn't it?
It did. It was pounded out and dried. Mm-hmm. It could be used for that.
Okay, so then she built the basket and she coated it with tar and pitch.
Yeah, that was just to keep it from gaining water. It is water repellent.
Okay. And then she put the baby in it. And then what does she do? She puts the baby in the very spot that you wouldn't expect a baby to be put, a boy especially.
Yeah.
She puts him in, well, among the reeds at the in the Nile, essentially.
By where she knew Pharaoh's daughter would come. Mm-hmm.
You think that she knew ahead of time?
Well, I think it was a step of faith that she believed God was going to provide for this child somehow, some way. She didn't know necessarily, but as faith trusts God, it does things that just don't make sense. And that's what she did.
Mm. Hmm. And then, of course, her daughter, who we learn later is named Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen.
I almost think she's like a six-year-old, just kind of watching and waiting. Her little baby brother and looking out, and also Aaron is an older brother as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two older ones. And yeah, when she saw the Pharaoh look at her and smile, the basket and smile, she came running up. "Oh, do you want me to get somebody to help nurse the baby?" "Yes, go get a Hebrew nursing mom." And so she went and got her mom,
now,
Moses' mom.
Do you think I have to wonder now, when Miriam ran and got her Moses's mom, do you think the Pharaoh's daughter might have suspected something?
I don't know. That's hard to tell. I don't, at the moment, no, because she was so taken by this boy, and taken because he was crying, hungry, and it could be that maybe Moses' mom thought, I'll come back and feed him at nighttime when no one's looking, but it was in the afternoon, and he was hungry, and so crying, and he was in this basket, and not near mommy, and whatever, and there's something about the look of him that so caught the Pharaoh's daughter's eye, that she fell in love with him.
I was wondering, because her father had said, kill all Hebrew babies, and yet she chose to blatantly disobey this.
Yeah, now I read, and that tradition says, and no, it's not the Bible, but tradition says that this daughter had no children of her own. She was barren. And so she, well, and would later, adopts Moses. First, the baby's cared for by this nursing mom. but then the mom brings her back to the Pharaoh's daughter. And the Pharaoh's daughter adopts him, which means Moses was in line to be Pharaoh.
Wow.
Yeah, and now this is tradition that says she had no children of her own, and that's why she adopted Moses. We don't know that for sure, but it seems reasonable. Seems reasonable.
But whatever happened, God did an amazing thing by letting this Pharaoh's daughter be coming out to bathe right when the baby was.
And notice, all of this is taking place while the Israelites were being abused in their bondage and slavery. And they thought, God's not there. Well, no, God is acting. It's just very quietly. And we don't always see God at work, but he is at work. I thought you were going to make note also of his name, Moses. It means called up out. And the Pharaoh's daughter calls him that because she brought him up out of the water.
Is Moses? That's probably not a Hebrew name, then.
No, it's an Egyptian name. Tradition.
It's Hebrew now, but wasn't back then.
In tradition, he does have an Israelite name. I don't remember what it was, but there was another name. But that's only a tradition handed down by the Jewish tradition. But that was his name, and it was an Egyptian name to begin with. But it became, as you said, an Israelite name as well. Well, let's read on in the story. I'll just note here, after Moses is adopted as a young boy, time passes by. We learn this story picks up with the next verse, verse 11. We're going to read verses 11 to 16. And he's probably about 40 years old. So a good 30 years has passed. Verse 11.
One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Questions, questions. They're always so much fun.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, I do. Okay. First, Moses was pretty high up by now in society. Why couldn't he just do what he wanted? If he saw something bad happen, okay, he's Pharaoh's adopted son.
Yeah, he's the prince of Egypt. Yep.
Yeah. Kill
Don't
off
know if
the,
he was one in line or two in line or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kill but, off the bad taskmaster. What was wrong?
He do what he wanted because his father, the Pharaoh, had gave out orders that were that the taskmaster should make it hard on the Hebrews, really hard, and get this stuff done. And so with Moses killing one of the taskmasters, that's like saying to his father, I don't like your laws, I don't like your rules, and I'm going to do something different. And so it basically was insurrection. Now, we might not think much of that today and just pull the son aside and, hey, son, you know, stop it. Not back then. Kings were ruthless. If they felt their kingdom was in jeopardy, whoop went their heads. And there are many murders and killings of family members of kings and pharaohs because they didn't want anybody to take their throne.
Mm. Okay. Then on the opposite end of that, how did the Hebrew dare to challenge Moses?
Ah, now this is an interesting one. It took a little bit of research to find this out. It said, who made you judge? Now, this here, the word was Shavatim, and what that means is a military type of rescuer, not a law-dispensing judge. So the Hebrew wasn't saying, who made you the judge to weigh out the balance to see who's right or wrong, but who made you to be this rescuer, savior, victor of the Hebrews? You're a Egyptian. So it's a technicality of the words. It's ironic, too, because this is what Moses kind of thought, and he kind of thought he would be, and he did finally come to be that, and it would be God who did it, but Moses was trying to do it right now. So in some ways, this Hebrew was right. You made yourself that way, and you ain't going to get fired, Buster. You got your daddy to deal with, and I don't like that.
But in some ways, the Hebrew was wrong.
Oh, sure. Sure. But it put Moses in a corner to realize in either way he looked, he was in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he runs away.
Yes, and he had to run away. The Pharaoh wanted to kill him. His dad wanted to kill him.
And why did the Pharaoh want to kill him?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, once the Pharaoh learned what Moses did, it wasn't about the murder. They had no thoughts of murder and life and all that. The Pharaohs and their family were above the law. They mm-hmm. were the law. But the Pharaoh saw this as insurrection of some of his family against his orders, and he didn't want anything to do with that.
He was paranoid about his throne.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Mm. Yep. All right. And finally, at least for now, mm-hmm. where is Midian?
Oh, okay. Egypt is in the basically the northeastern section of Africa, and Midian is part of the Sinai Peninsula, which sticks down. What separates Egypt from the Sinai Peninsula today is the Suez Canal.
Oh.
And this canal at that time was more of a marshy land that they called the Gulf. Sometimes it was referred to, well, it doesn't matter what it was referred to. It was just a big mess of water. So to get to the Sinai Peninsula, you had to go up higher and then down onto the peninsula. So you went north of it and then south. It's probably about 200 miles away from Egypt. So it would have taken Moses probably 10, maybe 15 days of walking to get to this land of Midian.
And yet it was far enough away from Egypt that his father's not going to bother coming down there and
right.
trying to seek revenge.
Right.
Got
right.
it.
He was just out of the land and he was happy with that. And it should be noted the reason Moses went to Midian, if we haven't mentioned it already, he knew from his mother who raised him until whatever age that he had cousins there, distant relatives, people who believed in Yahweh. More of that relationship than even the earthly relationship was the relationship of believers in the one true God. Well, let's continue on in Exodus chapter 2, verses 16 through 22.
Now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" he asked. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." Looks like Moses hasn't given up the job of being a rescuer.
You're right. It's. I think part of his fabric, part of who he is, who God made him to be. He rescued these girls because he saw injustice happening. And because of it, he built a relationship with
Reuel.
Jethro, who in the text was actually had a different name.
Mm-hmm. I was confused when I saw that for the first time. I saw the name Reuel, and then later in Exodus 18, he's called Jethro. So, yeah.
But it is the same man, just different names.
Mm-hmm.
And made a great friend with him. In fact, married one of his daughters.
Now, and I have a question before
didn't
we
married a daughter just in the next day. It probably happened over a period of months.
Right. Now, I have a question before that even starts. Here are these ladies, and they go to water their flock, and these shepherds come and drive them away. And you get the idea that this isn't the first time this has happened.
Right.
So,
poor damsels in distress.
Exactly. But if I were the father, and these bullies were bullying my daughters, I would have come along and put them in their place. Why didn't Jethro do that?
Well, there's probably a couple reasons. One, if the daughters were taking care of the sheep, that meant Jethro was short-handed. And so he had to give his daughters that. He didn't have time to do all these things. Second, if you go running off and doing everything for your daughters, they'll never learn to deal for themselves. But lastly, they got the job done, didn't they? Well, they just came home early that one day, it says. So if they came home later, they got the water sheep. Yeah, the sheep watered. So Jethro was okay. He was just surprised there early.
I still don't like it. I don't think it's fair. But
a lot of things in life aren't fair. Lots of things. And sometimes we just have to live with them and put up with them. But that wasn't Moses, by the way.
No. And Moses did show up to help.
Yeah.
And fix the situation.
Which is very much a picture of Jesus. Because what did Jesus do? The Son of God, he came into our earth. He's a type or a Moses is a foreshadowing of Jesus. Because Jesus came to fix injustice. Moses was tossed out of his land a couple times. First from the Hebrews, then from the Egyptians, and now he's here. He is a foreigner in a foreign land. Well, what is our Almighty God but a foreigner in a foreign land? Because now the earth with human beings, when Jesus came, was full of sinners. That wasn't his land anymore. And so Jesus came to save us and rescue us when we were being held by the whim of somebody else too. We're going to see this more with Moses, how Moses is a picture of what Jesus would do in saving you and me from our desperate peril. Well, let's finish chapter 2 of Exodus with the last three verses, 23 through 25.
During that long period of time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Well, before we can discuss these verses, or as we discuss these verses, mm-hmm. we have to go back and take a look at something we talked about in Genesis.
Oh, what's that?
The covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob.
Ah, good mm-hmm. point. Let's do.
We find this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abram,
"Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you."
And so we hear that God is promising to Abraham and his descendants that they would be his people and that he would prosper and bless them.
And they're certainly not being blessed through slavery.
That's right. And that's why God heard and was concerned. You know, and it's interesting. Why is he concerned at this point? In some ways, hang on a second, okay? Hang on. Mm-hmm. He's not so concerned about our circumstances and situations.
Excuse me?
Yeah. We're always going to have a bad day. If God were concerned about every day, and it'd be a good day for us, then
we'd be in heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Rather, God wants our faith to trust in him throughout our circumstances. And what I am hearing in these words that God got concerned now at this point because of the circumstances is that the circumstances were pinching on their faith, that it was making it even hard for them to believe and trust God. And that's why he heard. Because he is concerned about people, all people, and especially his people, that they maintain their faith and trust in him. And when it gets to that point, they can't. You bet he steps in.
And now God is about to do something about it.
And with this, we're going to end today, but I want to point out two things. It's going to leave us on a high point. God does care, cares very much. But he cares in a way that's best for us. And we see in Moses, and this is point two, that Moses here was being prepared to be that great deliverer, which was the sarcasm, the one Hebrew gave, who made you judge? Well, God's going to say, I did. Yeah. And we can say the same thing about Jesus. Jesus is our deliverer. And so when the devil says, "Who made you? Who says that I have to run?" We can say, Jesus did. Yeah. Because Jesus is our deliverer. And we find that he's just Moses is the perfect reflection of what Jesus is going to do for us in our sins.
And if you want to talk more about this with us, you can do so. You can write to us at info at not-alone.net. And what do we always remind people and tell them not to forget?
We are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.